The first reading is Corinthians 12, verses 1 through 11. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you are pagans, you were enticed and led astray to idols that could not speak. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking by the Spirit of God ever says, "Let Jesus be cursed." And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of service, but the same Lord, and there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit of the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts by healing by the one Spirit, to another by the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the discernment of spirits, and to other various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are activated by one and the same Spirit, allots to each one individually, just as the Spirit chooses. The second reading is John 2, verses 1 through 11. John 2. The wedding at Cana. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to you and to me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now standing there were six stone water jars for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. He said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the chief steward." So they took it. When the steward tasted the water that had become wine and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the steward called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this, the first of his signs in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Thank you.
Thank you, Ron. Our sermon title this morning is My First Miracle. But let's start with Jesus' first miracle. This is the first miracle performed by Jesus, the wedding feast at Cana. And what is his first miracle? Jesus, the life of the party, helps out when the wine runs out. Isn't that something? At just some wedding in some podunk little town, Cana. Just one little town, one little wedding. Now, back then, a wedding was an event for the whole neighborhood, for everyone. They all came out to the wedding, and the bride and groom and their families were responsible for showing everyone a good time. And it would have been a shameful thing to run out of food or wine during the course of the party. It would have been a little black mark by the name and an embarrassment. So Jesus' first miracle rescues a few people in a little town from an embarrassing situation and helps a man and a woman to begin their life together on the right foot. That's beautiful, that he'd start there with something so ordinary and so normal as that. His first miracle. Now we all get blinded by this idea of how do you change water into wine? Well, Mom used to make grape Kool-Aid. Remember that. But rather than focus on the how when we deal with miracles, we should focus on the why. Why did Jesus do that? Why did he begin there? Jesus is one of us, and he sees what's happening, and he intervenes. And so, with the prompting from his mother, he begins his ministry to the whole world, the most stunning ministry in all of human history, by helping out a bride and groom in a little town. He starts there, and the writers tell us of him starting there in a manner of telling us from our little towns, look, God is watching. God is watching and cares and is helping. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing that would happen that way. Miracles are a funny thing. We tend to decide whether we'll believe in them or not believe in them. We're amazed by them or skeptical of them. A stunning thing, signs and wonders, a truly stunning thing. So what gives when Jesus tells his disciples later, and by extension all of us, you will all do this and much, much more in my name. You will perform miracles. You will perform miracles. That got me thinking about miracles. We finally had a thaw, didn't we, this week? It's been so cold, and the snow's been piling up. Just ask Mark. He's been plowing pretty much 24/7. So much snow piling up. And I noticed in my travels through Honeoy Falls that not only were the falls mostly frozen over, but mostly a trickle, not much water coming through. Not a whole lot of water coming through. And then I noticed yesterday, when I came through, a lot more water going over those falls. I've walked a lot of Honeoy Creek, most of Jeff's property, as a matter of fact, and a lot of other places, with permission. But and I know that there are banks of snow extending all the way up through the valley. And nothing was dripping in when it was cold. But as it warms up, you go anywhere along the bank and you'll see little drips. A little drip here, a little drip there. Going down into that stream. And all the way along, those little drips who are finally warming up and releasing move into the greater stream until they become a rushing torrent. A beautiful thing to behold. Miracles are like that, and we are like that. We do, all of us, have potential to perform miracles. But I'm one little drip. I'm glad my sister's not here to jump on that one. What possible difference can it make? Well, without each little drip, 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 things don't happen. I tried to think in terms of what we do every day in Jesus' name, the kind of stuff we do because we consider ourselves faithful, because we consider ourselves Christian, the kind of things we say, the ways we reach out, the people we help. And I tried to think, wonder what my first miracle was. Because in truth, we've all been parts of miracles. We've all been parts of miracles. We've had miracles come to us as well. Now, sometimes we can explain them away. Like, okay, yes, she's cured of that tumor, but that was science. That was those doctors that did that. Well, those doctors at that hospital all learned and all grew skilled and all have been financed by the rest of us, and medical science is a miracle. It is our best thought and the best discoveries of the amazing human body brought together at a point in time to help one person with a specific problem. That is miraculous. We just live with it every day and we forget it. How about someone contemplating suicide? They're so desperate, they're at the edge, they're at the end of their rope. But someone crosses their path and stops them. A miracle that they happened to cross their path at that time. A miracle that this happened. I remember when I was a little kid of about 5 or 6 years old, I already wanted to be a rock star. And me and some of the other kids in the neighborhood, we formed what we called a band, which consisted of my brother putting his stereo speakers in the porch windows. And us standing up there going. So a little girl lived in town, broke her leg, a little girl, and we were told about that. And we decided we were going to put on a benefit concert. And we did for all the folks in the neighborhood, which in West Bloomfield is not many. And we raised $4.92, I believe. Now at that point, the band got together and wanted to buy a new sound system and an organ, of course. But instead, we bought a game. It might have been Operation, perhaps, which you give that to a little kid facing medical trials. Take out wrenched ankle. But that little kid, broken leg, at that time, you stayed home for a few days with that, knew that there were other little kids who were aware she wasn't there and cared about her enough to do something, silly though it may be. I don't know how long she carried that with her, but I did have a conversation a while back with someone I went to school with who remembered I had been kind to him at a time when he needed someone to be kind to him. And at the time, I was just doing what my mom and dad had always taught me. But to him, it was a little bit of a miracle in a bad run of things, a very bad run of things. So my first miracle, I'm not even sure of. I just dripped my little drops of effort into the major stream, and the work got done. And I wonder about your miracles. Where have you helped someone? Where have you offered the godly and the kind word? Where have you spoken prophetically for those who didn't have a voice? Now, we can't all be Martin Luther King Jr., but we can surely try in our own little corner. I know some of you have found jobs for desperate people. Some of you have been there to counsel desperate people. Some of you have fed the hungry, helped to build shelter for those who are out in the cold. Some of you have helped through your schools or your libraries to make the world a better place. And you're probably thinking, that's just so ordinary. That's so every day. Remember Jesus' first miracle. It was so ordinary. It was so every day. Keep dripping your little drops. Try to figure out what your next miracle might be. Raise your prophetic voice. Strengthen your prophetic hand. And add to the stream of miraculous blessing that flows through our lives. Amen.